Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We've got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. There's a headline that caught my eye today in CNN. And it says, Biden is up against nostalgia for Trump's first term. And the reason that I take issue with this is because I don't think nostalgia is the correct term. To me, nostalgia implies that there's some sort of romanticizing here, that people are, you know, warming up to Trump's first term just because we get further and further away from it. I don't think that's what's at play. I think people now have a frame of reference. I think people now have a little bit more perspective that mean tweets in comparison to an open border, in comparison to high gas prices, in comparison to high inflation and wars breaking out all over the world, that and a president who doesn't care that Americans are being held hostage by a terrorist organization. Did I mention that? Does anyone mention that anymore? I think that that gives you a certain perspective that you don't have when you're whining about his social media presence. But one of the other sentences in this column that really struck me as odd is it says, the CNN poll released Sunday suggests Biden is facing extreme pressure to do more to remind voters of the turmoil of Trump's single term. There's nothing else Biden can concern himself with besides reminding voters of the turmoil. And I get it. Like, I get that this was his first strategy, and it worked in 2020. He can go around and just say, I'm not Donald Trump. And it doesn't matter what else he adds in. Like, if he talks about cannibals or football, or it doesn't matter. As long as he says, don't forget I'm not Trump, then he's good. But I find it amazing that we're still talking about this like he doesn't have anything else that he should be focused on. Like, maybe if you spent a little less time focusing on reminding voters of the supposed, of the alleged turmoil of Trump's single term, which, by the way, I personally would like to go on record that I would take that turmoil today. If that's turmoil, then bring on the turmoil. Because whatever this is doesn't feel very peaceful to me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just watching too many videos of Columbia, of Hamilton Hall, but this feels like turmoil. And I was reminded of one of my favorite quotes from Miracle. Whenever somebody is so focused on somebody else's problems and they're not focused on minding their own business and maybe working on their own backyard, I think of this great quote from Herb Brooks. Play it.
You worry about your own game. Plenty there to keep you busy.
There's so much there to keep Joe Biden busy. If he wanted to, he could be working Nathan Wade hours. He could be working 24/7 on trying to undo some of the damage that he's done. And instead, he spends most of his day eating ice cream, talking about Donald Trump, and trying to appease the Jew haters on these campuses all over the country. Just doesn't seem like the best use of time. But you know what? I shouldn't talk. I'm not Ron Klain. I'm not KJP. I'm not one of the experts. So what do I know? There's another huge story today, not getting nearly enough attention, by Jennifer Van Laar in Red State. Jennifer breaks a lot of big stories. She actually broke the story about Rhoda McDaniel and the spending that the RNC was doing. And I think it was one of the motivators to push her out. And one of the reasons Rhoda McDaniel stepped aside from the RNC was because she was just getting blasted for this spending. I think Trump saw the reporting. And her latest story, I would argue, is a lot bigger than that. So she writes, a massive scandal is brewing in LA after DA George Gascon's number three is charged with 11 felonies. The story is, once you get into the weeds of it, is a little confusing. But essentially, L.A. District Attorney George Gascon, who has helped usher in record-breaking lawlessness into the City of Angels, he's in big trouble because I think this person's considered his number two. It's the L.A. County Assistant D.A., Diana Terran. She's now being charged with 11 felonies. And when you read this story, I just want to read you a couple of parts of it that stuck out to me. Between 2014 and 2018, Terran withheld exculpatory evidence from an Internal Affairs Bureau investigations and findings, leading to the discipline and termination of deputies who should have been exonerated. So right there, Jared, I go, that's a lawsuit. That's several different lawsuits. You're withholding exculpatory evidence, and because of that, it leads to discipline and termination of deputies. That's a big deal. And that's just the first part of this. Starting in June 2018, Terran improperly accessed and downloaded the personnel files of then-candidate Villanueva, who was the L.A. sheriff, and other LASD employees who supported his campaign. So she's targeting political enemies, is what I'm gathering here. Terran added information from the personnel files to the public defender's database. Van Laar writes, she is not charged with doing so currently, and we do not have independent verification of that. Terran allegedly used information within one deputy's personnel file to charge him with domestic violence when she was working at the DA's office just a few days before the statute of limitations would have run. According to sources within Gascon's office, Terran uploaded the personnel file information into a database at his office. Yeah, his name is all over this. Like, he was in the room, or I don't know if he was overseeing it. It says, Terran used the information in these files when she headed up Gascon's reinvestigation of officer-involved shootings and use of force incidents that had already been cleared under former DA Jackie Lacey, according to sources within Gascon's office. And Gascon was in the room with her when she did so. At least a few of those deputies were criminally charged. This is a really long story, and I don't have time to get into all of it right now, but keep an eye on it. This is something where I think we're going to be hearing more about this. And I'm sure people in LA would be relieved if they could finally get this horrendous, horrendous district attorney out of there who has done nothing except promote far left progressive policies that have, I don't want to say ruined LA, because a lot of these places have been, you know, on a road of destruction for a while, but he certainly sped up the process. Joe, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. You mentioned the turmoil in Trump's first term. Wasn't that all fabricated, beginning with the Russian hoax and then morphed into him calling people suckers in World War One, or refusing to go visit them at their grave sites in France? Or
yeah, suckers, I mean, and losers.
The turmoil was fabricated. You want to talk real turmoil? Let's talk about the border or Ukraine or whatever else Joe Biden is touched with his filthy money-grabbing hands.
It's so true, Joe, and a really, really good point. It's all turmoil that was ginned up by these people who have these fantasies in their head where they're the heroes and they're slaying this big, bad orange dragon. I mean, I was playing this earlier, Joe, but part of the reason you know these people are so off base is they're convinced that they're like hunted or something. These journalists are convinced that everyone's after them. They are the most privileged, useless, moronic people in our society, these keyboard warriors. And all they do all day is repeat the same talking points about democracy being on, hanging on by a thread. And this might be the last White House correspondence dinner we ever have. Oh no, my little heart can't take no more. And this is what they want to tell us. And then at the same time, these people who have immense privilege have convinced themselves that Donald Trump's going to put them in prison. And you're right. They fabricated all of these scandals. Their version of turmoil was Trump getting two scoops of ice cream, or Trump putting too much fish food in the koi pond. their version of turmoil is, I guess, turmoil, like everything else. It's like disinformation. It's in the eye of the beholder. Because what I consider turmoil is a very different from what the people at CNN consider turmoil. I consider, like Joe said, terrorists crossing over our border unchecked. I consider that to be turmoil. I consider American hostages being held by terrorist savages and the president not really caring. I consider that to be turmoil. I consider multiple wars breaking out because the president is feckless and the best he can drum up for a foreign policy strategy is don't. I consider that to be turmoil. But that's just me. I want to play one more of these flashbacks. I'm really glad we grabbed these. I might write a column on this. All of the times where TDS has caused these people to have delusions that they're going to be behind bars. And I'm really starting to think that this is what they want. Like, you know what it is, Jared? It's like tough guy. They want to be tough guys, or they want to be heroes, martyrs. It's bizarre, and it's not going to happen. No one's putting Nicole Wallace behind bars because of all of her journalism. Like, we're so scared of all of the truth that she's spewing that we're going to put her in jail. James Clapper. Now, James Clapper, on the other hand, he actually might have things to be concerned about, but it's not because of journalism. I want to play this cut. I want to go back to Nicole Wallace. Listen to this, cut 9.
I've seen that toast a bunch of times, but it landed very differently this year. Because depending on what happens in November, 7 months from right now, this time next year, I might not be sitting here. There might not be a White House correspondence dinner or free press. While our democracy...
If you're not sitting there and your show is not happening at MSNBC, I'm willing to bet it's going to have nothing to do with Donald Trump. If MSNBC has some sort of eureka realization that they need to put on programming that people watch, perhaps you won't be there. But it's not going to be because Donald Trump showed up at MSNBC with his hammer and the Constitution in hand and shut down the whole thing. In fact, I remember when Tucker Carlson was taken off of Fox, and that was after Chuck Schumer and AOC and all these Democrats were applauding this. They were applauding the fact that maybe someone like Tucker Carlson would be censored, would be silenced. The left was very much on board with it. And now they're just hoping that Trump will do it to them so that they can, you know, pretend to be victims, which is really their entire business at this point, is constantly pretending that they are the ones who are being persecuted. Meanwhile, every time I turn on MSNBC or CNN or Fox or any of these places, you know what's on television, Jared? At least one screen on at least one section of the screen is dedicated to Trump's cases, to all the trials that Trump is going through right now. Isn't that funny? The guy who's supposedly going to put everyone in jail has the entire justice system weaponized against him. Funny how that works. It's poetic, isn't it? He's going to be the guy who shows up, the authoritarian dictator who puts everybody in jail, and yet you're all foaming at the mouth to put him in prison. Perhaps you should look in the mirror. Physicians, heal thyself. We'll be right back. We got a lot more to get to. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
All right, everyone, now is your time to get on the line to talk to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. The number is 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is will Columbia cancel its graduation ceremony?
So now they're threatening to expel these students who are partaking in the encampment.
Like they threatened to have them out of there by 2 yesterday?
Yeah, a lot of empty threats. Empty threats.
Gotta drop the hammer on these people, Columbia.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just for all the people participating in the encampment or if it's just for the hammer-wielding, masked-up intifada.
Even non-students, you're expelled.
I don't know how these rules apply, but I'm getting the sense, like, once you don't make good on one threat, Jared, we've seen this with Joe Biden. Maybe that's who they're going to for their negotiating advice. Once you don't make good on one threat, once you make it clear, you say, this is the red line, Obama, and then they cross the red line and you don't do anything about it, then the leverage, or at least, like, the fear aspect is gone. They're not afraid of you anymore.
You're part of the ball peen revolution now.
And I don't think that these revolutionaries, these radicals, are following Columbia's rules. They're following their own rules for radicals. They're not following Columbia's, you know, guidelines and policies. And they don't care. They're not afraid of you. And by the way, this whole thing of, oh, we're going to expel them, depending on how the next 4 years play out, that could be a resume enhancer. That could be a booster for them. They put this on their LinkedIn profile. Like, and by the way, I only had 3 months left at Columbia, and then I got expelled for hating Jews. There's a lot of companies out there that would go, wow, good on you. Your parents must be really proud. We want to give you a starting bonus. So I'm going to say that, yes, the graduation is going to be canceled because USC has already canceled their main graduation, and I don't think it's nearly as bad as what's going on at Columbia. So if that is any sort of guide, I would say, yeah, they're going to cancel it.
84% of the audience agrees, yes, Columbia will have to cancel their graduation.
Toby Leary, thank you so much for joining us. Toby, there's always so much nonsense happening in the world, especially here in Massachusetts, though, regarding the Second Amendment. Give us an update on what's going on and all of the fights that you are staying strong on.
Yeah, thank you, Grace. And thanks for having me, as always. But if you go over to GOL.org, Gun Owners Action League, GOL.org, they have a good page that is basically keeps you up to date on all the language of the bills that are being fought in Massachusetts here. The bill that has become known as H4139 that started life out as HD 4420, which has been voted on in the Senate and the House. The Senate voted on it as an amendment to H4139 with basically replacement language. So in other words, void and replace or vacate and replace the entire bill with the Senate language. And then the House rejected that summarily, just said, no, thank you. We like our bill better. So there's 6 people that are meeting behind closed doors and are trying to hash out the details, 3 from the House and 3 from the Senate, in a conference committee. And I think they're meeting weekly. And the word on the street that I'm getting is that they're really interested in ghost guns. What the Senate is most concerned about is these unserialized frames and receivers. So we'll see how that all shakes out.
Okay, ghost guns. We can come back to that when we return. And Toby, I actually want to ask you about the Biden administration's take on menthol cigarettes, believe it or not. I'll tie it in when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone. Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis joins us now to answer all of your questions, whether they have to do with a specific kind of gun or the Second Amendment in general or licenses. Toby can answer it all. And let's go to the phone lines here. Kevin, you're first up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, Toby. How are you doing today?
Great, thanks. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing well. I'm a resident of Maine, but I date a woman from Brewster, and their family has property they shoot on. If I brought my firearms from Maine, the ones that are mass legal, Am I allowed to shoot them on their property without being in trouble?
Well, I would say you're allowed to shoot on their property without being in trouble as long as you don't bring your guns from Maine. So, unfortunately, we don't really have a provision in our state law that allows you to do that unless you possess a non-resident license to carry, which is a process you can go through. You got to take a class and appear in person in Chelsea for the, you know, application process. But you're legally able to shoot anybody else's guns whenever you want, wherever you can lawfully do that. So as long as you're in the presence of somebody who has a license to carry. So long story short is just keep your guns at home, but come and shoot their guns, unfortunately, unless you're going to go through the process of getting the license to carry. So hopefully that helps. It's not like Maine, the way life should be. So welcome to Massachusetts.
Okay, thank you very much for the call. Toby484 says, Grace, ask Toby if the Byrna pistol is a good and safe buy. Thanks.
Yeah. I sell them. So if you're going to take and use a chemical agent, that's what that basically is. It's like a pepper spray, but instead of a spray, it's a launcher. It launches a ball, like a paintball that's filled with that capsaicin pepper agent. And when it hits, it explodes and, you know, gets in your eyes and your lungs and your mouth and causes all kinds of problems for you. So I like those guns. Out of all the pepper ball launchers out there, I like the Byrna ones the best. They're also a Massachusetts-based company, which is great. They're legal in all 50 states. You can travel with them on airplanes and everything else, as long as they're in your checked baggage. But the long story short, I think they're a good alternative if you're not going to use a firearm. So, you know, it's better than nothing, let's put it that way. But I don't think it's a good replacement for a firearm. So, but you can also carry them where firearms are not lawfully able to be carried because they're not like a firearm, like a taser is. A taser is considered a firearm in Massachusetts, which is just a massive stretch of logic in and of itself. But so, yeah, there's some options there for you with the Byrna pistol and pepper ball launcher. And we sell them at Cape Gunworks, and it's a product that I can stand behind. It's a very good quality product.
All right, awesome. And the number is 844-500-4242. Toby, one topic that I thought you might be able to speak on here is the Biden administration recently came to the conclusion, which to most people was pretty obvious, but it took them a long time. Like everything else does, it took them a long time and a lot of, you know, trial balloons to realize that banning menthol cigarettes could potentially drive away black voters. And they are in no position to drive away more black voters than they already are. They're losing support from the black community at a rapid pace. And the reason I bring this up is because they're deciding, they're choosing politics over what they actually wanted to do, what was going to be part of their agenda, which they've talked about for a long time. The reason I'm asking you about this is because we oftentimes in presidential elections talk about the Second Amendment, talk about gun control, and how it typically does not play well at the ballot. Or at the voting booths. And so the reason that I'm asking you this is, do you think that we're going to see a little bit of a turnaround from the Biden administration, or at least are they going to ease off of this topic for the next couple of months now that they seem so concerned about losing voters?
You know, that's a great question, one that I haven't really thought of. I felt like they are all in on gun control and really think it's a winning argument for them. And maybe it is to their base voters, like their core fundamentalist voter. I think it is a winning, like if you look at the Twitter feeds of the Giffords group or the Moms Demand Action or any of those gun control groups, they're preaching to the choir. You know what I mean? But
right.
the missing middle, what I like to call, is where I think that what you're talking about really comes home to roost, because I do believe that the missing middle is being fought over by the right and the left. And obviously that's where elections are won or lost. And so I think with all of the uncertainty in the world, more people are recognizing the need for the Second Amendment and how important of a right it really is. And so I think that could really come back to backfire on them. But all of the rhetoric I've heard as of late, like even as I think a week or two ago, you were seeing the orange squares on the Twitter feed and ban assault rifles now, and nobody needs the AR-15 and, you know, large capacity magazines and everything. And they've been kind of carrying that line and that message right along. I don't see them backing off, but maybe they will. If they're slow walking the ban on menthol cigarettes, maybe they're starting to pay attention to some of the pundits and the pollsters and say, hey, you need to come to the center a little more. But hopefully everything that they've said so far has solidified in people's minds to know that they're not going to fool anybody about how they really feel about the Second Amendment.
And to your point, people near, the border, people in border towns, people in San Diego, gun sales are skyrocketing in those areas. And also Jewish Americans have decided to start really arming themselves in bigger numbers than we had seen before. So, yeah, people are waking up to the importance of the Second Amendment. And I know it's a little... It's a little late, Toby, for what you would prefer, but it's still happening nonetheless. We oftentimes get callers about Massachusetts, about New Hampshire, about Maine. We've got a caller on the line who wants to ask about Connecticut. Joe, you're up next with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, yes. Recently in our state, I received a message that said I had to re-register some firearms by the 30th, which is today. And it just seemed like a scam to me, because when I originally bought these firearms back in the 80s, they've got record of that. And now they want to re-register me?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. That's a tough one. It's not something I don't have my finger on the pulse right now of what's going on in Connecticut, but there is there's a great gun rights group there, the Connecticut, it's slipping my mind what the name of it is, but Holly Sullivan is the woman who runs it, and she's awesome. She's a great 2A advocate. And I know they just had a victory in Connecticut on something, and I really should know what the heck it is, but I'll dive into that and hopefully have a better answer for you. It's the CCRKBA, the Connecticut, it's the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, just honored the Connecticut Citizens Defense League, the CCDL. That's the organization that Holly Sullivan, heads up, and she was just given the Activist of the Year around grassroots Second Amendment work. So I would check into the Connecticut Citizens Defense League and try to figure out what it is that you got something about. But I honestly don't know what that is, and I don't want to lead you in the wrong direction. But they do have some crazy gun control in Connecticut, and they're always trying to do more.
Is it Toby? Would you say it's worse than Massachusetts as far as that goes?
I wouldn't say it's worse unless Massachusetts' current legislation that's pending passes.
Okay.
Then, I guess it's not worse in either way, but there's certain guns that they can have and certain guns that we can't, and certain guns that we can have that they can't. They're also one of the Hateful Eight, which can't own suppressors. There's eight states that have really dug their heels in, and you can't own suppressors. So Massachusetts is one, Connecticut's another one. And so there's a bunch of nuance to that, but they are the first ones that I know of, and this is probably what the caller's talking about, that passed sweeping gun control legislation about AR-15s and assault weapon, quote unquote, assault weapons, and made people go to their local PD, stand in line for hours at a time and register their gun if they want to keep them, or surrender them, or sell them out of state. But that was their three options: register them, surrender them, or sell them. And so I remember seeing pictures of these huge lines down the side outside in the cold and everything else of people waiting in line to register their firearms. And I'm like, this is a harbinger of seriously bad things to come, not to mention how unconstitutional this is. But, you know, and Massachusetts is on the precipice of doing something very similar. So,
yeah, and Connecticut has Chris Murphy, the senator, who is, I believe he was part of the negotiation in that talk on gun control legislation. He's always been pretty loud about that topic. I think at one point he made a disparaging remark about people who, like yourself, Toby, who point to the mental health crisis involved in a lot of these shootings. He kind of poo-pooed that idea. Toby, we got to end here, but I would love for you to let people know where they can follow you, where they can listen to you, and where they can visit you at Cape Gunworks.
Yeah, thank you, Grace. Love to have anyone come on down and visit us in person. We're at 96 Airport Road in Hyannis. Just type in Cape Gunworks and you'll find us. We'll show you around the store, bring you over to the range, show you maybe you'll want to shoot something, try before you buy, sign up for a class while you're here, or do that all online on our website. You can go to capegunworks.com and find out all about the shop there. And you can find out more about our activism and our radio show called Rapid Fire Radio. That you can go to that website as well, rapidfireradio.us. And one of the best ways to kind of stay up to date with what's going on is if you haven't checked your subscription yet, do it again, because we get a lot of people bumped off. But subscribe to the social media that you use. We're at Cape Gunworks and at Rapid Fire Radio. You'll be able to listen to our show live as we go, whenever we go live. We have a Sunday show on WXDK from noon to one. And then we do our main show on Wednesdays from 4 to 6 every week. So that's how you can stay up to date. There's a lot of news to cover tomorrow on the show, so I look forward to that. And I thank you for letting me be on here each and every week and spread the message to people who might not otherwise tap into the Second Amendment kind of paradigm that's out there, or the Second Amendment culture. So it's people that may or may not have guns, and they get to learn a little bit something about the Second Amendment each week on this segment. So I think it's really important work that you're doing, Grace, and I appreciate you having me on every week.
Well, you're a great resource for us, Toby, and we really appreciate your time. I know how busy you are. We will talk to you again next week. In the meantime, after the break, Howie Carr is going to join us, and the timing's pretty good because the police have just arrived at UNC, Howie's alma mater, to break up this protest. Looks like they have a good deal of students who are on the side of, you know, sanity, pro-Israel, pro-America students who are counter-protesting the pro-Hamas contingency of the school. So we'll talk to Howie about that. And also, I didn't want to give away too much here because it doesn't really make sense for me to go into it when Howie's going to have Turtle Boy on later. But the Howie Carr Show came up in the Karen Reed case today. And I was able to fill Howie in on it because I was following Turtle Boy's Twitter. So we'll talk to Howie about that. The latest thing that I saw that really caught my eye, a lot of today's trial or a lot of the court proceedings today are focusing on this dash cam footage and how much snow was on the ground, what Jennifer McCabe says versus what the actual dash cam footage shows of the snow on the ground. And something Turtle Boy tweeted out, he said, the Commonwealth keeps bringing up how no one else on Fairview Road came out of their house. Probably because, unlike Brian Albert, that's the house where John O'Keefe's body was found, they didn't have the body of a dead cop on their front lawn and their sister wasn't standing outside. Yeah, a lot of the reports that we're getting of the prosecution doesn't make a lot of sense to me, like the case they're trying to make here. Like, oh, well, they weren't the only ones who didn't come out of their house. Yeah, but they were the only ones who had John O'Keefe's body on their front lawn. So how is that an excuse? And just from, if you think of it from your own perspective, if it's late at night and it's snowing and you see a bunch of cops show up at your neighbor's house, you might peer out the window, but I don't think a lot of people are venturing out trying to get involved. Maybe I'm wrong on that. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with Howie Carr. By the way, he's back in Massachusetts, so don't go anywhere. The captain joins us next.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show, and welcome back to Howie Carr. He's in Massachusetts. Give the Rumble Cam a wave, Howie. Give him a big smile.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us today. Did you see UNC has now brought in the cops to take down some of these protests?
Good.
To break it up a little
good.
Bit.
Good. I think everybody should bring in the cops.
Yeah, well, some schools are doing that, and it's proving to be
successful.
I didn't
know UNC was having a problem.
Yeah, I think
they're
having problems right now.
If UMass is having a problem, everybody's having a problem.
It's in vogue right now. This anti-Semitism is very much in fashion with the Democrat Party. Howie, I wanted to ask you, so you're kind of, there's this game people play, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, where you can connect everyone to Kevin Bacon by 6 degrees. I think 6 degrees of Howie Carr is in order. You were mentioned today in the Karen Reed case.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out where, you know, what... She, I guess we're on Turtle Boy's former girlfriend's cell phone, and she called into the show, but it was on a Sunday, so we're not on Sunday, and it was right before Christmas. I don't think we were around anyway. I don't know what it is. We're going to try to find out more about it.
Yeah, but you've been following this case.
Yeah.
I think it's officially now nationwide. People are tuning in. What do you make of it so far? What do you make of yesterday with the judge allowing the third-party culprit theory into the opening statements?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that that was really that impressive a beginning for the prosecution. I mean, it seemed like, you know, again, you present your best witnesses first before the jury begins to drift away, you know, and I know that, you know, they were the relatives of John O'Keefe, but I didn't think it was that impressive.
And I thought it was very damning, the text messages that Michael Proctor allegedly was sending and what he was looking for in Karen Reed's
phone. Naked pictures of Karen Reed. I mean, I can't believe that this guy is still a cop. I mean, if any cop on that POST list, you know, that they keep for bad cops. If anybody had anything near that, they'd be gone.
And I asked Howie yesterday about the prosecution. You said it's like journalism. You lead with your best stuff. And if that was it, it looks good for Karen Reed. Howie Carr back in Massachusetts coming up next.